Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
News Talk Breakfast with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman
in association with AIR
on News Talk.
Ireland may need to consider changes to asylum and immigration rules on foot of tougher changes being brought in by the British government. That is the warning from Minister for Justice Jim O'Callaghan. This comes as coalition leaders met last night to sign off on a further tightening of migration rules relating to the criteria for family reunifications. And joining me to discuss all of this is Cathal Malone, immigration lawyer and head of legal research at Thomas Coughlin & Co Solicitors. Good morning to you, Cathal. Do you agree with the Minister that we need to tighten up if Britain does the same?
I don't. And the first sort of worrying thing about all of this is that the UK Home Secretary, Shabana Mahmood, who's come out with all of this in the last week in England, has been reported to have been inspired by Kristi Noem, who was Trump's head of ICE. So if Shabana Mahmood's being inspired by ICE in Trump's America and we're being inspired by her, then I think that's pretty depressing.
And that may well be true, but nonetheless, that doesn't take from the, I suppose, the essence of this thing that the minister also said that over 80% of people seeking asylum are coming in through Northern Ireland. And if we're seen as a softer touch, I think is the term, than the UK, that's only going to increase. So we need to, in some way, look at being in alignment with them.
Well, the first thing to say is that the UK is proposing to go a lot further than we actually could go, even if we wanted to, which I wouldn't agree that we should. And that's because, obviously, because of Brexit, they're out of the EU, and so they're no longer bound by elements of what's known as the Common European Asylum System, which sets down minimum standards. And part of the announcement from Shabana Mahmood this week was that, but because of the fact that she's no longer in the EU, she can go a certain distance. And that led to Nigel Farage saying that she should actually take up membership of the Reform Party.
Okay. I hear what you're saying, and I really did actually want to ask you about that, because I'm quoting the Minister for Justice here, the Irish Minister for Justice, who has said every country has a right to introduce its own migration policy. Is he correct? I know that we work within the auspices of the EU, but do we have a right to view asylum in our own way in certain terms in this country?
Well, there has been a certain amount of disparity across Europe on this over the years, but there are some basic minimum standards in the way we treat people. Now, those are actually being lowered across Europe with what's known as the EU Asylum and Migration Pact, which is going to come into effect next summer in any event. So a lot of what the minister is announcing was probably on the cards already. But there are a couple of things that have been floated over the last week, which are very concerning in the sense that they don't relate to, I suppose, what the minister might regard as spurious asylum claims, but they relate to reducing the entitlements for people who've been found to be genuine. So on the family reunification point, the law as it stands is that if you arrive in Ireland, you make your application for asylum, you go through the process and you're found to be genuine, and Minister O'Callaghan gives you a declaration that you are a genuine refugee, you can, within 12 months of that declaration, apply to bring your spouse or your children who are under 18 and who are not married over to Ireland with you. And obviously that makes a whole pile of sense. I mean, if you've managed to escape from the Taliban in Afghanistan, if you were in danger, then so was your family. What the minister is now saying is that you should be required to show that you've a certain amount of money in the bank, etc., before you'll be allowed to do that. But of course, the difficulty is that we don't allow people to work until they've been waiting for a decision on their asylum claim for at least 6 months. Obviously, when people are newly arrived here, their chances of getting a high-paying job are quite low, and employers aren't that willing to hire them anyway because they mightn't be here all that long. And so the idea now that you're going to have your wife and kids still sitting in Kabul for an extended period at risk because the minister wants to look tough is very concerning.
Yeah, I think nothing you said there is incorrect, but I think the direction of travel both from the UK and Europe appears to be that they want to clamp down on migration, that they feel that for right or for wrong that they're struggling to cope with it. One of the issues for us, though, Cathal, it is fair to say, is the common travel area and the fact that we do not want, and I think it's fair to say no one wants, a border on this island. If it is simple to cross the border between with no checks between Northern Ireland and us, there will be an issue if we have different migration systems, won't there?
Well, we've always had migration systems to some degree. But I mean, if we look at the extent of what's being proposed in the UK, I just don't know whether the Irish public have an appetite to go as far as they've gone. So one example this week was that they were saying they were going to confiscate jewellery from people if they arrived over and they had a necklace or a ring on them, that could be taken away from them to help pay for the cost of their asylum accommodation.
I'm reading from the official British position, according to the Labour government. Officials say that refugees and asylum seekers with assets will have to use those assets to help pay for accommodation and support. Some people might think that that was reasonable. If you are living off the benevolence of a different society, if you move there, but you have assets yourself, be it an expensive diamond ring or a car or whatever it is, that it isn't the job of other people to support you while you're holding onto your own assets.
But there's very, very dark historical overtones to all of that.
I wonder where they ask that as a very specific question. They're saying if refugees arrive with assets, that those should be taken into account in terms of their ability to support themselves. Is that invalid?
Well, again, it is to some degree, because in the UK, they allow almost no asylum seekers to work. And in Ireland, we make you wait a minimum of 6 months before we allow you to work. So you can't, on the one hand, say we're going to take away your family heirlooms that you escaped with that have been in your family for hundreds of years, and at the same time say, but we're not going to allow you the alternative of working to meet whatever that cost is. I mean, the second thing then that's being proposed in the UK, and again, do we want to go down this route, is they're saying that people are going to have to wait for a minimum of 20 years before they'll be given a permanent resident status in the UK. I mean, again, we're talking here not about people who are found to, as the minister would say, in some way be gaming the system, but this is 20 years for people who've been found to be genuine refugees, okay, whom we should presumably, once they've been found to be genuine, be supporting to integrate as quickly as possible.
Is that not because the other thing that they've brought in is they're going to do a check up on individual claims every 2.5 years? And if the country that you came from, and some people might think that this was not a bad idea, has now become safe, you will be sent back there. That just because you were allowed stay as a refugee at one point, if your country changed status, you may not be allowed to stay there permanently, and that permanence won't be given for 20 years. So you won't be kicked out. It's 2.5 yearly checks to see that you still are, I suppose, worthy of receipt of the refugee status.
Well, the first thing to say is that that's already the law in Ireland under the International Protection Act 2015. And when Minister Harris said during the week that he thought this was a very interesting idea that should be looked at, I did think that maybe he should have actually checked up on what the law was currently here anyway. But the reason why that effectively is nothing other than an anti-integration measure is that if we look at where people are coming from in terms of successful asylum seekers, we're looking at countries like Afghanistan, like Sudan and Eritrea, etc., which haven't got better in living memory and are very unlikely to get better in the medium term future. And so ultimately, you're creating a whole lot of paperwork for civil servants to do, which will be very expensive, where a very, very small number of people are going to have come from a country where not only is a war going to have suddenly stopped, but it's suddenly going to be, sunshine and roses.
All right. I suppose they're more thinking of countries like Georgia that were on the list and are not on the list, and we have quite a considerable amount of arrivals from there. But nonetheless, I suspect many people will be watching this with great interest. Thank you, Cathal, for giving us that very informed position on all that. That is Cathal Malone, their immigration lawyer and head of legal research at Thomas Coughlin and Co. Solicitors. Let us know what you think.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.